He's watching. Hebrews chapter 6 is something I'd like you to somewhat, if you can, memorize it, because I think it'll be such a blessing to you. I want you to recognize real quickly that just because you go to church and have gone to church for a lot of years does not mean you're mature. Amen. I have found that a lot of people base their maturity level in the gospel on how many years they've been saved. It does not matter how many years you've been saved, that doesn't make you spiritually mature. I had a man in a church that was saved 3 years who was more mature than a 50-year-old in the gospel. And the reason for that is because he was passionate in his growth plates. And so I want to challenge you to be passionate in your growth. You must be passionate, you must be driven, and I will say this because I'm preaching to the choir, you're at rock solid faith. Everybody should be at rock solid faith. This is where you actually propel yourself forward to truly making a difference in who you are in Christ. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, let's turn there real quickly, you're at 6, so just go back one chapter, and it says this, verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that you've come to need milk and not solid food." Now, you'll find that this verse is not a compliment. He's not running around saying, boy, I'm complimenting you here. He's actually taking a strong spiritual hand and whooping on some heinies. Well, what do you mean by that? He's saying, you should by this time be teachers. You've been saved long enough to be a teacher. You've been saved long enough to know what you're doing and to help somebody else. But you're not. You're still needing milk. It'd be like looking at a 30-year-old sucking a bottle. Some even might find that's a problem. There was a big move in the high schools a few years back. Hi, folks. And this was the thing. The young people were sucking pacifiers. How many of you remember that? How many of you did that? Don't raise your hand. Let's see. There's room there. There's a few over here. We can always add more chairs, too. So what's happened is we have a lot of people that should be teaching. Oh, Florida, you're back, huh? Grab a chair right there, right next to the, here we go. So there are people that should be teaching that are still sucking milk. And so at this church, this is so very important. At this church, our job is to not allow you to suck a pacifier till you're 30. Amen. Amen? But this is why some people won't stay here. This is the church where we're pushing you on a constant basis. Grow, 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 grow. I'm an irritant. My job is to be the burr under the saddle. It's to irritate you to where you're either going to grow or you're going to go. You mean you want people to leave? No, I don't want anybody to leave, but the fact is that I don't have to encourage anybody to leave. They usually do on their own. Why? Well, because I'm refusing to allow the body of Christ to be 30 years old and still sucking a pacifier. It's time to grow up. God needs his church to grow up. But the problem is that he's saying right here in this portion, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "For though time you ought to be teachers, some of you still need to suck milk. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." So if you're still sucking milk, it means you're a baby. It doesn't matter if you're 30, you're still a baby. It's time to grow up. Amen? 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 Amen. Turn to somebody and say, it's time to grow up. That does make people unhappy when I say that, but that's all right. "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those by reason of use." So there are a lot of people that go to church and have had a lot of knowledge imparted to them. They've learned a lot about Jesus. They've gone for 10 years and heard the preacher preach the sermon every single week, but they still do nothing in the kingdom. One of the things that we do in this church is we push you to get busy to do work. Right now, I need children's workers. I need people who are willing to invest. I don't do babysitting here at His Tabernacle. We invest in the lives of the children to raise up the next generation. And we need people that are willing to sow their lives to invest in the next generation of people. And that is who this church will be, is who our children will be, who they'll bring it to become. That means we have to teach them and train them in the kingdom. But if you are not using what you're learning, well, you're still a baby. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you got. Until you start exercising it and working in the ministry, you're actually still just sucking. Now, has anybody ever seen this? And I don't mean to offend anybody if it's if maybe you did it, so just don't make any noises. Have you ever seen a six-year-old still breastfeeding?
Yep.
I have. So the six-year-old comes up, tugs on mommy's shirt and says, I want a drink. First time a child can say, I want a drink, excuse me. Go to the fountain. I am not the fountain. Right? We would find that peculiar, wouldn't we? All of a sudden, a 10-year-old walks up to the mother and say, I want a drink. Hey, Ma, I want a drink. That'd be, maybe you might say in your head, something is wrong here. But that's the way it is in the church. People that should already know how to teach, know how to move, know how to work, be active in the ministry, they're still running up to the pastor going, will you feed me if you don't feed me? People come up to me all the time. They say to me, well, pastor, I can't stay at the church because I'm just not getting fed spiritually. And I look at them and say, bull crap. I'm not nice when somebody says that to me. Bull crap. You won't get better meals in this region than right here because I know what I'm feeding. This is solid food in the kingdom. So the problem is not that you're not getting solid food, you're not using it. So you've got to use the word. That means you've got to get busy. What are you doing? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but what are you doing in the kingdom? How are you working in the kingdom? If you're not working in the kingdom, then you're going to find you're always going to remain a baby because the shift comes by reason of use. You can go to school to be a chemical engineer all you want. But until you learn how to activate the knowledge that you're getting, you're doing nothing. You can go to college and earn your RN. But until you go to the hospital and start cutting your teeth, it's a totally different world. You really just have a lot of head knowledge. This is where this shift must come in the body of Christ. If you're doing nothing in the church, there is an issue of you still being a baby. Some people say, well, all I do is clean the toilet. But you're using gifts. Everyone has different gifts. No one's better than anybody else. And if we all do our job, not everyone's a finger, not everyone's a nose, not everyone's an eyeball. Some people are the toenail on the baby toe. And you might be saying, well, that's not really important. Oh, yeah? Lose yours. And what most people don't realize, it's your baby toe that keeps your balance, not your big toe. We don't realize how important we are, every single one of us. Somebody told me I recently need to go get a pedicure. Has any man here ever had a pedicure? Is it worth going?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Yeah. Jay and I got to go together. So you've got to use... Uncle Harold will go with us. So you've got to use what you're learning. And we're getting into the chapters now that talk about elementary school. Now, how many of you went to elementary school? How many of you graduated? Not everybody? Did you graduate? Okay. Eventually. I want to read this verse now. Ready? Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 1. This is what we're going into right now. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. The word perfection there means maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. So, right there, he just described elementary school to you. So, Here's where you know whether or not you are still in elementary school or you've graduated to middle school. Are you ready? When you can answer to me how many baptisms there are and where they're found. When you can answer for me the laying on of hands and what it means. What is the anointing? What is impartation? What happens when you lay hands on in spiritual principle? When you can answer how many resurrections there are in the scripture, And when you can answer how many judgments there are in the scripture, then you're getting to the place of graduating elementary school. But the truth is, and this is not, I'm not exaggerating. The truth is, the majority of the body of Christ do not know basic elementary school. It always makes me chuckle. Because I have these people that have been saved for a lot of years. They come up and go, well, brother, we're waiting for a deeper revelation of God. I'm just waiting for the Lord to open my mind and my spirit to the deep things of the Holy Ghost. And I always turn and I say, how many resurrections are there? What do you mean? How many resurrections are there? It's a simple question. Well, Jesus resurrected. Awesome. That's one. Yeah, that's right. There's the issue. Yeah, you don't know. You want deep things, but you don't even know elementary school. You cannot learn trigonometry until you first learn how 1 plus 1 equals 2.
No.
Yes.
That equals
4. No. So this is where I challenge you as your pastor to learn, to grow, to mature. Let's get through elementary school. And now, some of you, how many of you knew all these? How many of you knew the scriptural reference to all of these? Good. Then you're in the right place. I had one pastor say to me, well, you know, Pastor Mike, you know, I've been a pastor for a lot of years and I know the word. I said, then give me two scriptures that deal with the triunity of the Godhead. And he starts explaining the triunity of the Godhead. And I said, no, I didn't ask you for your opinion. I said, give me the word. And he couldn't give me the word. I said, you need to go back to school. See, we have a bunch of preachers that are ignorant. They're nice people. I'm not saying they're not genuine. I'm not saying they're not sweet. I'm not saying that they don't even have a call. But we have a bunch of preachers that don't know the word. And when you don't know the word, I don't know, would you like somebody to operate on your head that just kind of took a YouTube course? No? Well, what do you mean? What's wrong with that? They learned by YouTube. I've done some great things with YouTube, and I have some actually training things on YouTube. Listen, you don't want anybody doing brain surgery, working on your life, if they don't even know 1 plus 1. This is where you have got to make a determination as a Christian and as a believer that you will not remain ignorant, that you are choosing to grow, that you are choosing to know what elementary school is and every detail of it. And when you know that, graduation, I love God because he loves to graduate us. But we have this philosophy in our mind, even in our schools today, that nobody fails. Listen, now, my wife's been thrown out of more baseball games than anybody I've ever met. No, really. You know, she's been thrown out of the Little League. She's been thrown out of Babe Ruth games. She's been thrown out of the Horseheads High School football arena. Yes, she has issues. But her greatest issues when our kids were young was, they'd get four strikes, five strikes. Well, give them another chance. Listen, three strikes, you're out. This life is not fair. Hello. Well, we want everyone to pass. And, you know, if as long as they're trying, we're going to move them to seventh grade. Well, let me tell you something. We just dealt with a young lady, and y'all know her name is Kiera. Kiera was going to a local high school, and she moved into our house. When she moved into our house, then we found that we sent her to a Christian school and found out even though she was in 11th grade in the local high school, she only had enough credits to be at 9.5 grade level. But they were going to push her through. Listen, that's not how it works in the kingdom. If you're not going to be a student, then you're going to find that you're going to always remain ignorant and always remain under the par that God has for you. We're not talking about Little League baseball. We're not talking about everyone should pass because everyone doesn't pass. I can't tell you how many people I've met. I was praying about it just yesterday, I believe it was. How many people I have seen gotten saved in this church. I'm talking a genuine God experience that have walked away. And if they don't get right, they're lost. This is for keeps. So you've got to know this. You got to know elementary school. So where's my phone? There we go. Swipe. Therefore, leaving the elementary principles. What's elementary school? It is the very beginning and the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. It is the very beginning of school. There's nothing worse than seeing somebody who should already have graduated. Has anybody ever heard of a super senior? Well, we had a young man living in our house who was a super, super senior. Yes, they do that. He was 20, almost 21 years old, still in high school. We looked at him and said, and he wasn't going to pass that year. So we helped him get his GED. Because at that point, the issue was not the high school. At some point in time, you've got to be willing and wanting to grow up in the Lord. Now, the Bible says that we should go on to perfection. Now, there are three levels, main levels in Christianity or in your walk with the Lord. You have babyhood, adolescence, and maturity. So say that with me, babyhood, adolescence, and maturity. Now, these are the three levels that you'll find that people are in the maturity level of the kingdom of God. Now, when you're newly saved, you're a baby. The Bible says you're a babe in Christ. Now, I just want to give a great testimony. The young man who fell, who was at the bar that fell and hit his head, and he's in critical condition up in Rochester. Laura Lee gave us a call, and she and Chad and Jade, Pastor Chad and Jade, went up to Rochester yesterday and were able to go into the ICU, lay hands on the young man, and speak in life over him. And right there in that hospital room and then out in the waiting room, nine people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. All those people that gave their hearts to the Lord on Sunday, all those people gave their hearts to the Lord just yesterday up in Rochester, they're all babies. The Bible calls them babies in Christ. Now, the interesting part about having a baby is you cannot feed a baby a steak. You cannot feed a baby. I remember reaching down Chad Michael's throat with my finger, pulling out an apple peel. This is where we have got to learn how to take care of the babies. This is called discipleship. And you're going to find and hear more of this than you've ever heard before in this church. You're going to hear Minister Randall and Pastor Dan saying to you, are you part of a discipleship group? Everybody should be part of a discipleship group. What does that mean? That means that you're going to be disciple. What's disciple mean? It means a student. It means a pupil. It means somebody who's going to be taught by somebody else how to grow up in Christ. Every baby needs a discipler. Every baby needs to be discipled. Every baby needs to be tutored and pupiled. Every baby needs to be matured. And they can't take care of themselves all the time. Can I hear an amen? You know, how many of you have ever changed? Now, Sophia's just getting to the place of being potty trained. She sat on the potty the other day and poopied and pee-peed all by, you know, not by herself, but being held on the toilet. It was very exciting. I mean, I saw my wife come out of the bathroom. She did it. And I'm thinking, yeah, she went to the bathroom. That's good. But today we saw her. She was over by the chair going like this. And she pooped her pants. And she had to be changed. Now, that's what babies do. Babies make mistakes. Babies have to grow and mature. And you have to have a discipler to help them through that process. So I don't care how old you are in the Lord. If you are not being discipled, you should be old enough to disciple. Let me say it one more time. Well, I just don't know what the Lord's will is for my life. Oh, I got one for you. If you are already mature enough to to have already been discipled and set, then you should be a discipler. Everybody in this room should be discipling somebody if you are old enough to not need a discipler. I knew you were going to be a tough crowd, but come on now. The next one's called adolescence. This is when we step into the next realm of maturity. This is where you know the Hebrews chapter 6, you know elementary school, you know the biblical principles of foundation. Now you're starting to grow up in Christ. Now, we have issues with adolescence because how many of you know that rebellion sometimes slips in? How many of you know they get a little mouthy? How many of you know, really, adolescents think they know everything? You know, they look at you at 16 years old, they know you. They know their world better than you do. Yeah, right. Still wet behind your ears. This is where we learn how to actually, babies don't have to learn how to live life. They just learn how to live. But in adolescence, we start taking them how to live. You know, how many of you, when you were old enough, your mom or dad looked at you and said, listen, go clean your room. I know, I'm so sorry. Or how about go take out the garbage?
That was easy.
Or do the dishes. You know, you start getting chores. Well, why do your parents give you chores? Because they want to torture us.
Yes.
No, for by reason of use, you start taking the knowledge you have and activating it, called responsibility, and then you start learning how to live real life. The Christians that are doing nothing in the kingdom of God, that are past babyhood, they really don't understand what it means to grow up. They're still taking. Babies take. Babies take. That's their job. To take. They take your time. They take your money. They take your sanity sometimes. They take your breath. Babies take. But an adolescent, what you're doing with an adolescent is through their motivational gift, you're teaching them who they are. As a young person, you're learning who you are. And as you're learning who you are, then you're starting to use your gifts. And as you use your gifts, you start to become skilled. And that's why some guys, you know, back where I was from, they would go to BOCES and they would go up and they'd work on, you know, they'd build houses or they'd work on the large machines, or they would do this or they would do that. Some were finished carpenters, some were framing carpenters, and they would work in their skill sets, and they would start seeing, listen, they would have great worth. Why would they have great worth? Because they were creating value. And what happens in the body of Christ, where great value is not felt in many individuals, is because they're not doing anything. But they're not doing anything, not because they're not gifted enough to do it, but because they're more and brought up as still babies and takers rather than givers. Listen, we try to do that with children right off the bat. We try to be a good sharer. Share. I mean, that's when it gets violent, when you start telling the kids to share. This is where you learn how to use who you are. This is where you learn how to grow up. You have got to be involved to grow up in the kingdom of God. To get out of elementary school, you have got to, by reason of use, use what God has given you, use the word that he's given you, use the gifts that he's given you, so that you'll be active and activating to where others will be able to receive from you, you not just be a taker. Now, you've heard me say it before, I call it welfare Christianity. What's welfare Christianity? Where you're always expecting the handout. You're always expecting somebody to give to you. You're always expecting to take. The young lady that lived in our house, she said to us, she said one day, she says, well, I'm just going to go on welfare. And I said, excuse me? She said, well, I'm just going on welfare. Now, I believe welfare, listen, I'm not speaking against welfare. There's a place for welfare. Welfare is an awesome program when it's used properly. It's necessary when it's used properly. But she said to me, and I want to show you the mindset that was in her. She said to me, I'm going to go on welfare. And I says, well, who do you think pays for welfare? She said, well, the government does. I says, no, you don't understand. Where do you think the government gets their money? Well, I don't know. I'm paying your welfare. I'm paying taxes. That's where your money. No, sir. This exactly. No, sir, that's not true. But see, she had been taught to be a taker and not a giver. And this is where in the body we have a bunch of welfare Christians where they are taking, taking, taking. They come every Sunday. They get the word of God. They take, if there's a need, they ask for help. All these things. Now, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're also giving, giving, giving. And by giving, you're using your skills. And when you use your skills, you learn responsibility. And when you learn responsibility, you become skilled in your gifts. And as you're skilled in your gifts, you become a formidable adult. And an adult in the kingdom of God is one who can then go and take a baby and maturate them into adolescence, from adolescence reproduce the next generation of adults, and then so on and so on. And then all of a sudden you have what we call organic growth in the kingdom of God, where the body is being matured and grown, and nobody has to sit back and say, well, you know, I think we need some help. You should never need help as long as the body is growing the way it's supposed to be in God's plan. Amen. That is good word right there. We could end right there and be all happy.
Be all happy and end.
No, be quiet, kid. Now, the process of maturing means that you've gone through hard times. Now, adolescents, you know, they get dumped the very first time. Their life has been destroyed. Yeah, honestly, you know, I have three children, Cody and Chad, and Corinne really, she was really not interested in boys until she was like 18 or 19 years old, which was phenomenal. I mean, I call that glorious. But my boys, I remember Cody coming into the room one time, and he said, you know, I think he was 16 or something like that. He says, I love this girl. And I says, no, you don't. He says, no, I love her. And I says, no, and he said, she just sent me a text and said, you're my life and I don't know what I would do without you. And I said, dump her. Dump her fast, because she's crazy. And he said, no, we love each other. And I said, no, you don't understand. And finally they broke up and he was really upset. I mean, it was an emotional thing for him. Well, of course it's emotional. You're learning how to live life. How many of you know when you became an adult, you wish you could have gone back in? Jesus, help us all. Because maturing means that you go through and you learn how to remain stable. You learn how to grow and keep moving forward. You learn that even though there are hard times, you're going to make it because you become immovable in the kingdom. I love 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. May the God of all grace who called you, read it slowly, make it bigger. Who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. That's what happens when you become an adult. You go through hard times and you learn after you've done all you can do to stand therefore. But if you've never learned responsibility and the ability to stand in adolescence when people are around you, then how are you going to stand when you're an adult? A mature person reproduces, trains others to a place of maturity and understanding. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, he who is spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. It's funny to me how when people walk up to me and say, well, I'm spiritually mature, Pastor, I always look at them and say, how many people have you restored? Because don't tell me you're spiritually mature if you've never restored anybody. Yes, sir. Restore means that somebody who's walked away from the Lord, you with love and gentleness have gone after them and encouraged them to come back to Jesus, and they've been restored back to Christ. That is a sign, right there, Galatians 6:1. That is a sign of maturity. The years in the kingdom does not determine your spiritual maturity. What determines your spiritual maturity is your use of the gospel, your responsibility in the gospel, and your capabilities of loving people, restoring people, building people, and reproducing the body of Christ. You ask everybody, how many have led one soul to Jesus in 1 year? You'll find the majority, I'm not even going to ask in this room, the majority have zero. How many people have you led to Christ who were sinners in 1 year? Most will say none. Well, then where is the reproduction? Where is the maturity? Because this is what our job is. Well, I don't know anybody who's unsaved. Then you're in the wrong circles. You need to go to the supermarket. You need to go to the mall. You need to go and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to direct you to somebody. 2 weeks ago, the Bible college students went to the Arnett Mall. One purpose, to share Christ with people in the mall. And that day they led 9 people to Jesus at the Arnett Mall. Well, no one's ready. It's not true. The harvest is ready. Mature people reproduce. So there are serious criterias for us to be able to look at our spiritual life and find out whether we're babies, adolescents, or mature. And the great deception is, well, I'm mature because I've been saved for a lot of years. That's not what the Bible says. So what are you? A baby? Are you an adolescent? Or are you mature? Well, I don't want to grow up. I had one of the kids that was living with us. He was 21. I said, dude, you got to get a job. No, really. You said you've been looking for a job for 6 months. You have 2 weeks to find a job or you're out. And he said to me, well, I don't want to work. Don't you understand? I don't want to work. And I said, wrong house. He left. Wrong house. We had one of the other young, we've taken a lot of people in. We had another young person come to our house and live with us. And they were getting ready to go to college. And they were living with us in another location too. And the other location was very difficult. But they loved coming to our location because, you know, my wife spoils the children. And so here this person comes and getting ready for college. And they said, well, I'm moving back into your house, right? And the answer was, no. But you're going to take care of me, aren't you? No, you're going to work. No, I don't want to work. I'm lazy. No, that literally came out of their mouth. I don't want to work. I'm lazy. I'm not going to college then. That's exactly what we said. You didn't hurt me. But you see, this is a mentality even in the church. Well, there are enough people working in the church. What do I got to do anything? Well, there's nothing for me to do. That's a lie right out of hell. There's every kind of opportunity in the kingdom of God with the gifts that he's placed within you to love people, to help people, to build people, to strengthen people. Well, I'm just going to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to do my courtesy drop in the kingdom. I'm coming once a month. You're always going to remain a baby. And you know what the problem with babies are? They choke easy. And if there's no one to change them, diaper rash. And then if you don't have somebody to feed you, you die. And a lot of babies die. Oh, I'm not talking like 1-year-old or 2-year-olds. I'm talking 10-year-old babies die. 10-year-old babies die. Why? Because they've chosen not to obey the word of God. The word of God is very clear. By reason of use. If you're not going to step up and do something in the kingdom, you're always going to remain a baby in Christ. And when hell starts licking your toes, you are going to get burned. It's time to grow up. Now, listen now. I'm very serious as your pastor. This and I drive people out of this church. This is not a church for the lazy. If you're going to get restored, there's a period of time to be restored, and we love that. We'll restore you, we'll encourage you, we'll build you, we'll teach you, we'll strengthen you. But baby, if you've been here 10 years and you're still not doing nothing, go down the road. Because most people in that realm aren't even paying tithes anyways, so all you're doing is taking a seat. So you're not only not working, you're not giving, you're taking a chair. Why don't you let that chair be used by a sinner who at least will hear the gospel and be changed? Now, I know what I'm saying is not real popular, but that's not my job. I'm not the popularity king. My job is to move you from babyhood to adolescence, from adolescence to maturity, because we need to raise up a body of Christ in this region that's going to change this area, and we're already doing it. Do you want to be part of that? Now, it's okay when you need welfare. It's okay when you need welfare, but you can't remain on welfare. Amen. Welfare was made so that in the interim of struggle, you have help, but it's not made to stay there. You're moved forward to where all of a sudden now you're helping by paying taxes to help somebody else who needs the help. Not so that these people can stay and you can keep funding them. Fourth, fifth generations. And we have that in the body. Fourth, fifth generation of Christians who still have not and are not working in the kingdom. So you need to hear me. I'm not being harsh. I'm just being forthright. Is that fair? Would you rather me dance with you or would you rather me tell you the truth? I'm a very bad dancer. When we were in Africa practicing for the wedding, Jade's mom actually hired a dance instructor. I've never danced in my life. And when I do, it's really scary. And so we're at this dance instructor, and I didn't want to go. I mean, I said it. I don't want to go to the dance instructor, but I'll, Rhonda, whatever you want, I'll do for you because I love you. And so I had my, you know, I had my my Converse on, and she had a pair of sandals on, and I'm trying to do what the guy's telling me to do, and I accidentally stepped on her foot and took her toenail and bent it straight back. As blood started coming out, as she screamed aloud in pain, I looked at her and I said, "Sorry." And she said to me, "We will not dance." And I said, "Okay." I'm not a good dancer. I would rather be forthright with you because I believe that that is what really makes people people, not pacification or placate. Amen? Yes, young man.
I want to start volunteering on Sundays.
You want to volunteer on Sundays, yes. But I have one of those. Do you? Yes.
Do I have to wait till I get out of Sunday school?
I would say you might need to wait till you're out of Sunday school, mainly because you're still learning. Okay? But there's other ways you can help. You know, there's tons of ways. As kids, you can work in the kingdom, and man, we raise up the next generation of workers. Actually, the class you're in is what raises up the workers in this church. By the time you all graduate, you should all be doing something. Even if it's cleaning toilets. Yes. There you go. We need help with flower beds. He's in.
Need help picking up trash after the in sanctuary after church.
Yep, we need help picking up trash, and we actually just let go our cleaning companies. So, we definitely need that. Here we go. It's time for the body to grow up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse, what time is it? Okay, we got time. 14, verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 15. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected. That word perfected means mature. But I press on. What's it mean to press? Sit?
Yes.
No. Press means move. Press on, that I may lay hold of that from which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree I've already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let this be in the mind. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is very important. This is where we can really look at our lives. Now listen, again, it's okay to be a baby if you're a baby. If you're newly saved, up to like 1 or 2 years old, awesome, man, you are a baby in Christ. We'll change your diapers, we'll put the pacifier, we'll make sure you got the right milk. And when you cry, we're going to be there to encourage you and strengthen you. But after that, it's time to start growing up a little.
Amen.
And this is where you and I have to judge ourselves. We have to say to ourselves, where am I in this growth process? Where am I in this identification? When you're a child, you ever met like a 20-year-old who still acts like a 15-year-old? You just want to beat the snot out of them. I mean, lay hands on them in the love of Jesus. Boom. With the fivefold ministry gifts quickly. Say, will you stinking grow up? What's wrong with you? Get your head out of your armpit. Grow up. Listen, I know 40-year-olds that are still smoking weed. I had a man come to my office one day, and he said, Pastor, I want you to know that I quit. I said, awesome, dude. You know, what'd you quit of? And he pulled out a pack of Marlboros. And dude, I'm proud of you quitting smoking. Well, you should probably open it. I open it, and there's a nickel bag, you know, with 3 or 4 rolled joints. And he goes, I quit. And I'm thinking, yeah, and I'm going to get arrested. He was 38. Oh my God. There are still 38, 40, 50-year-old people that are still smoking weed, that are still acting like teenagers, in drunkenness and partying. Listen, it's a time to grow up. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I understood like a child, and I acted like a child. But now that I'm an adult, I put away childish things. Doesn't mean you can't have fun, but you put away stupidity.
Amen.
Because stupid things cost you. Stupid, you can't fix stupid. If they choose to be, you can't fix it. Can you close that for me, Kenny? So, I'm almost done. Actually, you're going to be done early tonight.
Yes. I don't want to go to bed when I get home.
Oh. If you're still a baby, it's not a bad thing. If you are, it's time to grow, and this is what this class is for, and I just tip my hat to you all for being here. Listen, I'm not here to beat the snot out of you. I'm here to encourage you, but at the same time, give you a really good education. Number two, if you're an adolescent, that's exciting. You're starting to learn the basics. When you mess up, get up and keep running. Sometimes adolescents are clumsy. You ever seen an adolescent clumsy? Especially one of these, a tall person seems to trip over their own feet. That was Cody. I had a brand new ATV. This was years ago. He crashed it like it was brand new, a week old. $1,500 in damage. He gets a motorcycle when he's 17 years old, and he T-boned a car, and I was right behind him. T-boned a car. I came to the conclusion, stay off motorized things unless it has 4 walls. Amen. Are you mature? Here's how you tell. Are you producing? That means are you doing things? Are you teaching? Are you established? Do you restore people and do you strengthen people? If you're not, don't lie to yourself. You're not mature. One of the litmus tests. One of the litmus tests. Ready? Thank you. Here's one of the litmus tests. When was the last time you led someone to Jesus? And this is for every age group. Listen, I find that many times the babes in Christ are so passionate about their relationship with the Lord that they'll lead people to Jesus real quick. But the problem is, if you don't get into the habit of it, first of all, it's very addicting, leading someone to Christ and seeing your friend change. Someone brought their friend on Sunday, and they came up and gave their heart to the Lord, and they came up to me after and said, I never thought they would do that. I said, isn't it cool being part of a person's life changing forever? I mean, ever. That's eternal, ever. It's the coolest thing. But if you call yourself an adult and you're not leading anybody to the Lord, you're probably not. You've lost your way. You've lost your purpose. Your purpose is not to suck air and call yourself a Christian. Your purpose is to reproduce. Well, I don't know how to. We're going to teach you how to do here. We're going to teach you how to lead someone to Jesus. We're going to teach you how to disciple them. And we're going to teach you how to continue the process. When they led 9 people to the Lord yesterday, it was extremely simple. It wasn't hard. And the issue is that most of the time it's not hard. People really are lost. And they really are confused. And they really do want Jesus. They just don't know it yet. And when you share Christ with them, one of you might plant, one of you might water. God will always bring the increase. But the issue is that they are watching you and I to see if our walk with God is real enough for them to buy. No one expects you to be perfect. But they do want to know that it's not just a religion, that it's real. And as a mature person, get real. You need to lead someone to Jesus this week. Go out of your way, HT plus one. Go out of your way. If you can't lead them to the Lord yourself, get them to the house of God. We'll make sure the gospel gets in them. But you should be able to do it yourself. And we're going to teach you how to in this class. It's just I got to get to that chapter. Anybody have any questions? Look at that. You are out early. 5 of 8. Dear God, the miracles of the Lord are revealed. Anybody? No questions? Any thoughts? Any comment you've ever wanted to make? Any question you've ever had in your entire life that no one's been able to answer besides you? Your life's not been long enough. I'm sorry. Anybody else? I'll come to you. I'll get to you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Any question you've always wanted to ask that no one's been able to answer? Yes.
Are Legos babyish?
No. Legos develop your creative mind.
That's why I filled with them.
That's right. They're very creative. And usually, if you look at motivational gifts, if you're a person that puts things together like that, you're going to find your motivational gift. It will be very, very strong in the kingdom. And you'll do great things in putting either people back together or putting the kingdom and God's house together. Very creative. Creativity is a gift from God. Anybody? Awesome. I love you. Have an awesome evening. If you want to get your rock solid faith, you have to get it on Kindle. I'm out of the blue books already.